I'd like to welcome and introduce Matt Cheddar and his wife, Violette, who, I hope I said that right, who, if you remember back last year, her being here is an answer to prayer. So we just like to welcome you and bless you as you deliver the message. So,
thank you.
Good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning. And I don't know if you noticed when we were singing the one song, the light came through the window and it just felt like the place was being filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. This morning, what I'd like to do, and recently it's been something that I thought about in the past, but recently it's become more clear when I think about the work that I do as an MCCer for Mennonite Central Committee, but also the work that you do. As a Mennonite Central Committee worker who helps to connect you folks, the churches here in North America, with brothers and sisters around the world, it came to me the other day that perhaps when we think about looking through a window, we get a glimpse of what's on the other side. Now, this morning I was joking with somebody that, you know, if you see this, you might have to put glasses on because my bald head might blind you, right? But when we think about the glimpses that we see through a window, within this frame, we only see so much, right? We only can see a little piece. And that's what I hope these stories today will help you see a glimpse of the lives of brothers and sisters around the world who you don't know, who you've never met, but who you have helped through what you do right here at Beaver Dam. So one of the things that has always fascinated me, and also keeps me up at night, because my brain doesn't shut off, is how to better understand Jesus' teachings and to seek ways to live as Christ exemplified in his life and taught us how to follow his example. When I called Pastor Randy about speaking today, he mentioned a theme that you were engaging in, and that you are continuing to seek what Jesus' teachings are trying to tell you here at Beaver Dam. So as I thought about that, one text is one of my favorite, I won't deny that, is one of my favorite texts in the Bible. I have a lot, but this one particular, no, not because it has my namesake, but because it is a text that helps us to really, shall we say, put the rubber to the road. It challenges us. It asks us, what do we do in our daily lives when we seek the ways of Christ? So, in Matthew 25, 31 to 46, we have the text, and it's entitled, The Judgment of the Nations. Now you wonder, okay, a text that sets the criteria for the final judgment. When I'm living here and right now, how would this text help me to think about what I do on my daily lives? Well, let's try to see what kind of view I can give you through this window. This is what I hope to take a look at with you today. How does one respond to the needs around us? Do we really take the time to visit those who are lonely? Let's take a look at the text. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 25. And I'm going to start at verse 33 and read to 36, just as we get started here. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, my right, right here, come, you who are blessed for my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom, prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. For now, we'll stop right there. Also, in talking with Pastor Randy, that he had spoken on this passage recently. And you wonder, well, you know, we've heard this sermon and this text over and over and over, as well as other familiar texts of the Bible. So why do we keep repeating them? Why do we keep trying to express and try to interpret what they mean? Because this is part of our journey. So here we have laid out for us, "For I was," is a powerful way to indicate the reality that I am. I was hungry. I was thirsty. I needed clothing. I was a stranger. I was sick. I was in prison. Just as powerful as the action response, "You gave me, you visited me." But Jesus does not stop there. On the flip side of this action is non-action. Doing nothing, not responding at all, ignoring the reality that the person is in. The righteous did not seem to get the hint, because they asked Jesus, "Well, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we ever see you naked? When were you in prison?" But here's what Jesus says. "Truly, I tell you." This statement is seen and interpreted as one that carries great authority. Jesus does not mince words. "Truly, I tell you" is declarative. Now let's get back to the text, starting at verse 41. "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from you, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.'" And still, the listeners ask, "Well, when was it that we saw you hungry, that we saw you thirsty?" Yet again, Jesus replies by saying, "Truly, I tell you." Seems pretty clear, doesn't it? When we see someone hungry, do we act or do we look away? This sounds familiar, doesn't it? Does the Good Samaritan ring a bell? The first man passed on the other side. The second man passed on the other side. The third man passed on the other side. And finally, someone stopped because he saw the person lying on the side of the road. And he went to him. He didn't ignore him. He went up to him and he helped. As I read this text, and I studied the context in which it was written, it makes me wonder, in my life and the things that I've done, which am I? Am I a sheep or am I a goat? Not literally, of course, because I'm bald and I don't have hair. But have I responded as Christ calls me to give to the other, to go and to visit? And as I continued to study this text, and I've studied it over and over, and I've thought about it, and I've prayed on it, Recently, I've encountered two questions that help it make a little bit clearer for me. Who is served and who is called to serve? And that gets also to the question, or sort of the statement of today's sermon. Sorry, I don't have any time. One way of looking at these questions is by simply answering them. Who is served? Anyone who's hungry, or thirsty, or imprisoned, or naked, can be a vessel through whom Christ can be encountered and served. Second question, who is called to serve? All people, all places are called to serve their neighbor. It's pretty simple, right? But if it were that simple, we would mostly be living in a world where all people are serving and helping their neighbor, and no one is hungry or thirsty or without clothes or in prison. I grew up in rural eastern South Dakota in a farm town, third generation farm family. I grew up listening to these verses being preached on over and over and over. I grew up seeing my grandparents and my parents helping their neighbors do chores when the farmer was sick or in the hospital. I saw my grandmother and my mother take food over to the neighbors as well. I witnessed a group of farmers gathering together to harvest the neighbor's field after an accident or death, or simply when his machinery broke down and could not afford to rent or buy a new one at the time. Did it to one of the least of these was in action all around me in a way that one did those kind gestures because that is what one does. It's the right thing to do. As Christians, it is what we're called to do. Then, the rural fabric was such that all the farm families were on the similar thread. All in the same boat, per se. Helping each other out was how community stayed strong. The rural reality has changed. I have a relative who farms 10,000 acres from his pickup truck and a cell phone. Rarely does he get his fingers in the dirt. It's different today. Yet, I still see my parents and other community members helping their neighbors in rural South Dakota and around the world. In this example, any one of us could have been the one who was hungry or thirsty or in prison or naked, or could have been that vessel through whom Christ could be encountered and served. Therefore, in my mind, logically, it seems that all of us were called to serve our neighbor. At least that's how I made sense of this. We do it because we're called to do it. Whether it was with our neighbor or a church member who, after an ice storm, he had electricity 20 miles north, we did not. He came with his generator so that we could do the chores. Does this sound familiar for your community and the realities that you live with? Have you ever found yourself or your family in a life situation whereby you were served? Or when was the last time you helped your neighbor? Christ calls us to serve and to be witnesses of his glory. So here are some stories. Again, through the picture frame, a glimpse of what happens when neighbor helps neighbor, when Christian sits and listens to his neighbor, when you take the time to visit, when you take the time to help in whatever the situation may be. These stories, I hope, will help to encourage you to continue to do that. You see, I'm assuming that happens. And by seeing the bulletin, it does. And that's a wonderful thing. Because as a church community, again, we're called to do that. Part of your mission statement says, faithful hands and feet and eyes and ears of Christ. That is a wonderful thing. A colleague of mine at Mission Network years ago coined the term, smells like mission. And when he entered a church, he often wondered what the aroma of mission really smelled like. Did it really get his senses going? Could he feel that the congregation was excited about being together, about preparing together to go out into the world and to serve? Christ calls us to serve and to be witnesses to his glory. And around the world, MCC supports projects that will help families make a better living, helping them pay for food or school for their children. Sometimes these projects involve animals. Sometimes it involves getting loans to buy the animals or learning a new technique to raise these animals. So here's a glimpse of some of MCC's animals and how they're at work across the globe. At the end, you will see how you fit into this picture. Pong cares for her disabled son, Tan. He has suffered from severe disabilities since birth due to his family's exposure to dioxin-contaminated Agent Orange. The family received the cow from MCC partner Vietnam Association for Victims of Agent Orange to help boost family income and prepare for Sion's future care. Quote, I want to have a saving pot. I like cows and like to have more cows. And one day, when we need the money, we can sell those cows. Selling a year-old cow can bring as much as the equivalent of $890 US dollars, which can buy a good motorbike, pay for education, or provide startup funding to open a small business. In 2015, VAVA, or the Vietnam Association for Victims of Agent Orange, provided cows to 20 households who have at least one family member affected by the Agent Orange. By the end of the project, 120 families will have a cow. Another MCC partner, Giovanna and Khaled's family received a pregnant goat from MCC partner, Lebanese Organization for Studies and Training, as part of a project that offered families a goat along with training on how to care for and to raise more goats. Families can increase their income by selling the milk or breeding more goats to sell. These goats also are one way to help build peace between Syrian refugees fleeing from the conflict and the Lebanese communities that are hosting them. Ideally, as families increase their own financial security, they will feel less threatened by the Syrian presence. The training encouraged cooperation among Christian, Shia, and Sunni participants. Hearing the music of the coins today reminds me that the song of giving is a beautiful thing. It also reminds me of a gentleman I know in Ohio who, every time he puts his check in the offering plate, he gives a little chuckle. Because he read one time, be a happy giver, be a joyful giver. So he chuckles every time. So the church knows when he's giving. But he does it because that's what he's called to do. Quote, tensions make us even poorer, says Rami, director of LOST, or the Lebanese Organization for Studies and Training. If you need to sell milk, you shouldn't have to limit the customers to people you agree with. In Cambodia, in 2008, Sharat joined a village savings bank. Every month, members put in what money they can to start earning interest. Then after they put it in a certain amount, they begin to borrow money from the bank to improve their businesses. Very much on the credit union model that works very well in international development settings. Quote, I started with one piglet, she says. I wasn't sure if I knew how to raise one, if it would live or die. But then I made a profit. So the next year, I bought three piglets, and the next, even more. And now, I have 23. I time them so that they are mature right during the Cambodian and Chinese holidays. That way, I can get maximum value. I am so thankful to the backing of MCC to help support the village bank. It has made a real difference in many people's lives. The bank was started by Teoko Community Forestry and Integrated Development Association. Again, another MCC partner. Mennonite Central Committee works around the world and does a lot more work and is more effective as we continue to work along partners. Partners who know their culture, partners who have people from the community who can help MCC understand the context, understand what's important, understand the cultural pieces that you need to know when you're trying to understand what the needs are, what the capacities are in a community. Padam wants to become a commercial chicken farmer, raising broilers for meat to sell locally. He took a 10,000 rupee loan to buy day-old chicks and special vitamins to build an enclosure for when the chicks are larger. Padam got the loan through MCC Nepal's partner, Shirki Siwi Samaj, which supports people living through HIV and AIDS through advocacy, community-based care, and peer support groups. Participants can support and can access small loans for starting income generation projects or small businesses. I hope you're able to see a theme emerging that through these projects, there's less hunger, there's less thirst, more people have more clothes, communities are being built, are strengthened within. Amina received goats as part of an income generation project in Bangladesh. She breeds the goats and then sells them to others as a source of income. She sometimes has as many as 10 breeding females at a time, along with their kids. So many that people in her village call her the Goat Lady. The Income Generation Project was done by Mennonite Central Committee with funding through MCC's account at Canadian Food Grains Bank. Here in the U.S., we have a similar food grains bank called Food Resource Bank that does similar type of funding to help communities and agricultural projects. Moving to Gaza, there's a rabbit project that's run by MCC. And it started before the crisis in July and August of 2014. A few rabbits survived the attacks. People can breed the rabbits to sell, which gives them more money for food or school fees. Others use the rabbits to supplement their diets. Back to Nepal. A goat survived the earthquake that destroyed or damaged over 450,000 homes in April of 2015. Anjana's family in the village of Dakchoki purchased the goat with a loan through a project offered by and funded by MCC's account, again at Canadian Food Grains Bank. Raising and selling goats in Nepal can be a good source of income for families in a country that imports approximately 80% of its goats. In Zimbabwe, Sandra Jones Vocational Training Program is a place where girls are trained to raise rabbits. The program provides vocational skills for youth who have fallen significantly behind in education because of their backgrounds of being abused or orphaned. They're given training and skills to help them earn a living, like poultry rearing, rabbit keeping, vegetable production, bird health, biosafety, lighting and ventilation, marketing, budgeting, bookkeeping for small businesses. Unto the least of these. In Haiti, Claude, 22, is learning techniques of animal husbandry at a technical school, as well as skills to start plant nurseries and harvest the seeds. MCC partner, the Zarame Professional School offers vocational training to help people who live in the countryside make a living there instead of moving to the overcrowded capital. With a contribution from the Canadian government and MCC after the 2010 earthquake, the school built 4 new workshops with 8 additional classrooms, established programs in electricity and mechanics, began offering instruction in computers, English, and business management for every student, purchased a truck and outbuildings and animals for the agronomy program, as well as land for the experimental garden. More goats. Josephine in Chad was trained with other women of her village to raise healthier goats and chickens and ducks by MCC partner Baobab. Training on how to use vaccines helps people in the village maintain healthy animals, which earn more money when they're sold at market. So how do you fit in all of this? This week, as Pastor Randy said, is meat canning. And you folks, along with the folks at Valley View and others, have been working throughout the year to get ready for this week. You are doing what the Matthew text tells you to do. I'm not telling you to do it. The text here, Jesus' teaching in this text, is telling you, go. Open your eyes. See. Get to know. And those are the things when I ask these two questions that I introduced to you, who is served and who is called to serve, helped me to see that I'm part of this whole picture. You help and you serve. One can of meat has the possibility to feed a family of five or even up to eight people. And as I recall, there's a popular Cantor song written about a year ago. And I have it on my iPhone in my iTunes. Syrian refugees have received meat from MCC, and it is being distributed by partner agencies in the refugee camps to people displaced in Lebanon, but also those that are internally displaced in their own country. What you do does make a difference. Recipients of the kits, of the comforters, of the meat say, we can now stay in our home because of MCC's help. And we do not have to leave, knowing there is assistance gives us relief. In the end, who is served and who is called to serve remain two important questions for us in North America to remember as we look around us and we see our neighbor. Who is hungry? Who is thirsty? Who is naked? Who needs a visit? When we make the conscious decision to be active in helping others, we will unexpectedly encounter the face of God in the person that we are serving. Or in the face of the person who is serving us. Truly, I tell you, is God's way of telling us to wake up, to pay attention, to act, to respond, to bring our faith alive. We serve because our faith tells us to. Not because we hope to receive praise or a humanitarian award. We serve because Christ calls us to serve. Now, with that said, I want to say thank you for what you do. Not only for MCC, but looking around the church as we arrived, many projects are being supported by you folks. You are walking alongside people. You are working with people. You are praying for missionaries and for folks that you do not know. So you are doing what Matthew 25 says. So thank you for serving with MCC by donating your time, your money, your material resources. And I was just thinking as these buckets were being filled, that, you know, perhaps a committee could get together and count a penny at a time. Because you know what? That builds community as well. We could easily take it to the bank and have a machine do it, right? But perhaps getting to know each other, sitting and thinking about this penny and what it'll do as it impacts the life of somebody you do not know. As evidenced in the stories that I shared with you, it does make a difference in people's lives on the other side of the world. And it also makes a difference and it impacts our neighbor right next door. And as I conclude, I think about the very end of the text. Verse 44 to the end. Again, they will answer, "Lord, when did we see you thirsty or hungry or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison? And we did not help you." He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." And then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. As we think about the sheep and the goats, as we think about our daily lives, as we think about our faith walk, individually and as a community, what will our answer be when Christ asks us, "What did you do when you saw me?" Amen.